What's up, everybody? Welcome to the MMA Kill Shot Podcast. Do I look familiar here in DFS Army? I should be. I do the prop subscription. I used to do MMA. I'm back. I'm covering MMA for our members at DFS Army. I go by Sniper. Happy to be back and join you guys. And with me, I can't even say as always, with me, new face, new friend for me, with you guys from much longer, goes by Monk. Monk, nice to meet you just a little while ago, and happy to work with you, man. Looking forward to it.
Likewise, glad to be here. First show back, very excited for it. We got a decent little DraftKings card this week before the pay-per-view next week, so I'm really looking forward to a little preparation before the big week next week.
Yes, usually off the rip I give you what the episode was, but I was so excited to be back. We're talking UFC Vegas 76. Main event is Sean Strickland and Abus Magomedov. So looking forward to that fight. I think a wild one. We got a lot of good fights on tap. A quick little promo off the top. Make sure you guys are joined up at DFS Army. Those links will be in the description. All the info and access for our members, picks, cheat sheets, rankings. There's VIP articles, all that good stuff. If you're not a member, make sure you sign up. Links are in the description. Those of you who are, we'll see you in Discord. Let's talk about some fights. First fight up, we're going to start with the main event. Sean Strickland, he's a minus 150 favorite, priced up at 8,500 on DraftKings. Taking on, weird that he's getting a main event fight in just his second UFC fight, but as Abus Magomedov, he's a plus 125 dog, priced at 7,700 on DraftKings. And I'm not going to go first. Monk, I'm going to let you take it away. First fight, what you got?
Well, I happen to be leaning Sean Strickland. Really, overall, this is a good fight to target, in my opinion. Since 2021, five-round fights. Someone in five-round fights has made the optimal lineup 61.24% of the time. That is one hell of a trend that I'm probably not looking to buck this week. Abus Magomedov, I mean, what can we say? The guy has 17 seconds of fight time in the UFC, and it was against Dustin Stolzfus, of all people. So you could consider this quite the step up in competition, in my opinion. I'm going to be leaning Sean Strickland here, to be honest. I like both sides for DraftKings, but I'm going to have much more exposure to Strickland at 8,500. I think this could go the path of, you know, the Imavov fight a little bit. And he scored very well, 117 in that match. He was only 7,700. He's 85 this week, so not too expensive, a lower-owned dog. I mean, he landed 182 strikes in that one takedown. The other hand is why you would roster Abus Magomedov, obviously, if he does what, you know, if he shuts down Sean Strickland, which we have seen from Alex Pajeda, if he's able to do that, he should score very, very well. And at the underdog salary, he would be right in the prime spot to be considered optimal. So I love this fight for DraftKings. Love the five-round fights. Remember that 61%. But I do lean Sean Strickland overall.
So for me, what's interesting about that 61% is I actually use that the other way typically, because 60%, and I've only been keeping track of my stats, I think, since the start of 2022, and mine's around 57%. So that sounds about right. But what's interesting is the main event is usually rostered around 80 to 90%. So I can get leverage just being around 60% and being under, because people like to slam it in. Unfortunately, this is not a week I think you can take advantage of that, because we got two guys priced in the mid-range. That's factor one, 8,500, 7,700. You're not going to get priced out up in the upper tier in a win. And you got Sean Strickland, who just throws, is the king of volume. If it goes five rounds, it's going to be volume, volume, volume. And Abus is either going to have to knock him out or keep up or get takedowns. I'm also leaning on the Sean Strickland side just in terms of that volume. I don't think Magomedov gets a finish. But it's a really tough fight. It's a really close fight. It's one in cash games. I'm going to recommend you stack it up. There's also not a lot of good dogs this week, so I would just start with the stack and move on from there, especially probably get multiple rounds of high output striking. I like the stack. And again, in GPPs, I'm probably going to be more on the Strickland side. You know, I have to actually start building, and I'll get to that with our members probably tomorrow. I want to say I'm going to have more Strickland, but the dog range is such shit. I probably end up about even, or maybe even more Abus. It's once I start building, I'm going to see kind of what I need from this mid range. I will say if I'm making one lineup, I would put in Strickland over Abus just as a straight up pick. So let's go ahead. Let's move on to fight number two, the co-main event. I have a lot to say about this one because I have concerns, major concerns. Demir Ismagulov. It's minus 110. This fight is a pick'em. Ismagulov priced up at 8,200. Grant Dawson, he's minus 110 as well. Obviously, it's a pick'em. He's priced at 8,000 on DraftKings. All right. My problem with this fight is Demir Ismagulov retired after his last loss against Armin Sarukian. Sarukian took him down 7 times, beat the ever-living shit out of him, but Sarukian is a top-tier guy in this division. Okay, fine. But then you retire. All right, fine. You're done. Now you're back. Okay, what do I do with that information? That's weird. Oh, you're on the last fight of your UFC contract? That feels even sketchier. Oh, they gave you another grappler who's going to try and wrestle fuck you and he's undefeated? Man, now I feel really bad. What, like, look, I'm on the Dawson side for all those intangible reasons and the takedowns. I think he's good enough to be able to get Ismagulov down and control the fight. I don't know if he gets a finish, but mid-range fight, I think he controls it. And on top of that, even if you like Ismagulov and you're picking him to win, man, it's real, real hard to roster him on DraftKings. It's not an exciting play in the mid-range. You get no discount. He's actually priced as the favorite. Probably going to be way underweight to him. And in general, I like Grant Dawson to win. I think an undefeated grappler in this type of matchup, sign me up here. Co-main event spot, I think a chance for Dawson to show out. Monk, who you got for this one?
I couldn't agree more, to be quite honest. Demir, while, I mean, he's looked good recently, he, like you said, there is little to no DraftKings upside with this guy as far as three-round fights go. He scores 2.4 points a minute overall in his last 4 wins. I mean, he doesn't allow any, but he did give up 98 overall to Armin Sarukian. So that is kind of, you know, it's not 100 points, but it's pretty damn close. Grant Dawson on the other side, he's the one that possesses almost all of the DraftKings upside, in my opinion. Over 4 points a minute in his last 5 fights, 102 per win. And he allows even less points than Demir Ismagulov, quite frankly, by 0.3 points a minute, which is surprising. So, I mean, the guy scores well over 2 points a minute in takedowns and control time. And like you said, if your name is not Amanda freaking Nunes, I don't know how I could roster you when I know that you've been retired and or are currently, you know, in the process of retiring again or for the first time. So I always preach that. I'd never, or rarely, I should say, roster, you know, a ton of these retiring fighters. And it's just for that reason, man. I mean, an 88,000 for Grant Dawson, I think, is fantastic. If this guy's able to land takedowns, this could really have some value on it.
I can think of one other guy I would roster if he ever came back. Sign me up for Zabit Magomed Sharipov. Please come back, sir. Yes. Please come back.
Someday.
I think now he's what? He's a doctor or a surgeon or something. Yeah. He's done, unfortunately. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next fight. A really, really interesting one here. Max Griffin, he's the underdog in this fight. He's plus 205, priced at 7,200 on DraftKings. Whereas we have Michael Morales, the minus 240 favorite at 9,000 for the young kid. Monk, you can start us off with this one. Who you got?
You know, I'm a big fan of what I've seen out of Michael Morales. I want to see this kid do well. You know, 14-0, looking great. He did, let's see, his 2 wins so far. Trevin Giles, pretty good. And Adam Fugit, who did go on to rock. In his second fight, scored like 130. And then he got beat up here. Was that the Malat fight, I think, pretty badly. So I like Morales, but, man, his level of competition is not there. Only 2 fights in the UFC. So while I may be rooting for him, I think the DraftKings upside lies in the underdog, Max Griffin, at 7,200. This guy is extremely durable for the most part. In his pro career, he's only been finished, am I reading this right, 1 time. So never, it looks like, well, not in his last 5. Once in the UFC. So extremely durable. I think, if I'm right, he broke his hand in the first round of that Tim Means fight, his last fight, and went on to win a 3-round decision. So fought with a broken hand for upwards of 10, 11, 12 minutes and still got the W. So I'm looking at Max Griffin for some durability and possibly to, give maybe Michael Morales, not that he might need a humbling lesson, but he might just get one indeed. So I just like Griffin here at 7,200, has made the optimal lineup once in his past 4 fights, and I will be looking to roster him a bit for DraftKings as a nice little underdog. I will have maybe some of Morales too, but I just don't think I don't think he's ready, but I think I got to see one more fight before I'm really committed.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the take. I'm taking Michael Morales. I'm on the Morales side, and it's mostly when I look at the fight technically, I feel like Morales is slightly ahead of Griffin in the striking. I think he's slightly ahead of Griffin in the grappling. He's younger. Father Time's undefeated. I get to talk about that more later. But Griffin's on a nice little roll here. He's 1-4-5. I just, skill for skill, I like Morales. Also, why I like Morales more so in GPPs, I don't think I'd go there in cash games, is that he's going to go kind of lost in this range. Like, you got the Renats up here, and all the guys we're going to talk about priced up at 9. He's going to be the least owned of the fighters in that 9K range, making me want to take a look here, especially because I'm picking him to win. Unfortunately, you go to the Griffin side, and you made plenty of valid points. And I said it earlier in the podcast, the dog range is bad. It's a shit show down there. He's of the scrubs. There's a couple dogs I'm picking to win, but they're a little bit higher up. Of these, the kind of the scrubs in the 7,400, 300 under range, he's the most likely to get a win. And then just right away, I got to start playing you some. Even at low output, I mean, you can score 65 points on DraftKings if you're one of two underdogs to win at 7,200, 7,300, whatever it's going to be. You got a real shot at the optimal. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to play enough Max Griffin here. It's one of those fights I can probably get over on Michael Morales without, I could be over on both guys because I can get over on Michael Morales without too much exposure. And Griffin, I think everyone's going to mix in these dogs, and I'm going to choose the way I'm going to approach it is I'm going to just cross some dogs out and be way under on them. And if I'm not on, then I can use that exposure to get a little bit over on Griffin. That's probably the approach I'm going to take on this one. Very live dog. Can't pull the trigger on the straight up pick though. All right, let's go ahead. Let's dig into fight number four. Fight number four, Ariane Lipsky. She is an underdog at +195, priced at 7,500 on DraftKings. Melissa Gatto, -230, 8,700 on DraftKings. This one is for me to tackle first, and I think there is sneaky, massive upside for Melissa Gatto. Why? Because I think she's going to grapple in this fight. If she grapples in this fight, she's not going to get knee-barred like Ariane Lipsky was able to do to Luana Carolina, who we get to talk about that later. That's just not going to happen here. Melissa Gatto, she can grapple. She's got good topside pressure. I don't think Lipsky's going to be able to stop it. Really, Lipsky's path to victory here is being able to blitz Gatto early and just this overwhelming pressure. The problem is we saw that out of Lipsky when she was fighting in KSW. We don't really see it in the UFC. Every once in a while, she'll show out. I think she's older in her career. I just don't think that's in her anymore. And that if she doesn't come out with that kind of volume and pressure early, I don't see how she gets this done. And that this is kind of one of those, you can't go vanilla across the board. Just kind of, I'll mix some here and some of there. I'm going to be under on Lipsky knowing that is my risk. If she comes out looking like 25-year-old Ariane Lipsky, I might have a problem. But I think more often than not, Gatto's going to take her down and beat her up. And I, because people typically go under-owned on the women's fights outside of, you know, Amanda Nunes, or for whatever reason, I know she's been scoring big, but Lupi Godinez seems, those fights seem to get real popular, I think more so than they probably should, which is weird. But outside of those women's fighters who drive volume, drive exposure, like Shevchenko, you know, all those big names, they typically go under-owned, and I think I got a real spot to get some leverage here on Melissa Gatto. I'm going to pull it up real quick again. -230 probably is a little bit wide for me to make a straight bet, but I feel like -230 and 8,700, some pretty good implied value there in this line. I'm going to peep it again Saturday morning. I bet you it blows up a little bit. I think this is a bad matchup for Lipsky in terms of takedown defense, and I like Gatto a lot here in I'm waiting for our projection ownerships to pop. I don't do those. I'm not in charge of those, thankfully. And I'm hoping to get a nice low number on Gatto. So if you're watching this, I appreciate it. Don't tell your friends. Let's keep the Gatto train nice and quiet. Monk, who you got?
Well, first of all, let me know if this fan in the background, I had to turn it on. It's 105 degrees in Texas. So if it is a problem, I will put it off while I'm talking.
Fuck that.
It is not. Dude, I'm. You can tell. I am a little damp already, so... It's pretty warm. But yeah, I completely agree. And that's one of the comments I was going to make. -230 is probably a bit wide to put a straight bet on. But 8,700 is right in that wheelhouse of where we want to be this week. I think I love Melissa Gatto. Ariane Lipsky has won, you know, one of her fights in her last five. That's not named Mandy Bum was against JJ Aldrich. She actually looked okay in that one. I just like Gatto here. I think the upside is here. The scoring is here. She scores almost a point over of what Lipsky scores per minute. She scores almost 10 points over what Lipsky scores per win, which is close to triple digits. One of her two wins so far in the UFC was triple digits. She put up 116.5 against Leonardo, so she has done it before. She did finish Eubanks in the third round, 81 points. So finishing Eubanks by KO TKO is pretty – you know, I think that's a notch in the belt, in my opinion. 81 points is like not great, but then you find out she was only 7,500. So she's looked good before. She had a very close fight with Tracy Cortez. And I completely agree, man. I think the minus 230 and 8,700 is there's a lot of value in there for us DraftKings boys compared to that the Moneyline boys. Last thing I will say, you mentioned no one likes to play women's fights as much as the other fight. Second best optimal weight class overall since 2021. Obviously, it's a smaller sample size than, say, lightweight, but 87 flyweight fights, 47 times someone from women's flyweight has made the optimal lineup. That's a 54% optimal, second only to men's featherweight. So this is definitely one I'm looking to target, and I will be well over the field on Gatto this week.
I'd be interested for those. I haven't dug into those numbers enough. It's not I like my numbers personally. I stick to roster construction. How many guys over 9K am I play? Like, that's kind of how I use it. I'd be interested to see how many, just from a fan perspective, how many total lightweight fights and welterweight fights there are, just period. How much more are those white classes featured than they are than the bantamweights?
100%. 100%.
It's really interesting. Something to dig into later. All right, let's go to the, I think it's the last fight or the first fight on the main card here. Benoit Saint Denis, plus 260. Again, a lot of red corner dogs here. 7,000 on DraftKings. Ismael Bonfim, minus 310. That's a big number. He's 9,200 on DraftKings. Coming off that big, big highlight performance in his UFC debut against Terrence McKinney. He is a bit hyped up. Unfortunately, the dude, if you watched his regional tape, you knew he was legit coming in. And now I think the cat's out of the bag because of what he did to McKinney. So I'm personally a little upset about that. Monk, how do you have this fight?
Well, we talked about Max Griffin, and we also talked about how there weren't a ton of dogs this week. This is the hot dog, pun intended, no pun intended, I don't know, the hot dog of the week. That should be a new segment maybe. Benoit Saint-Denis, everyone is – not everyone, but a lot of
people really? –
Oh, yeah, all over Twitter, man. 7K, everybody's like, this is the dog. He's going to beat Bonfim.
I'm about to shit on it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I didn't at first I kind of agreed, but then the more I watched and I just – that's a lot. Everyone's saying, oh, he's never been finished. He should have been finished in the second round against Eliseu Zaleski Dos Santos. Whoever that ref was, I forget his name, obviously just forgot he was reffing or had, you know, some money on it, but yeah, he should have been finished. He should have one KO/TKO loss on his record. And I'm with you, man. I'm on the Bonfim side at 9,200. I think I'm going to try to take advantage of the overvaluing, in my opinion, of Benoit Saint-Denis. While his nickname is fantastic, God of War, I just don't know if he's going to be able to pay off that 7K salary against a guy that has a real shot of giving him his first finish loss here. Now, Denis has made the optimal lineup in 2 out of his 3 wins, but those were against Gabriel Miranda and Nicholas Stoltz. So I think Bonfim's just going to – has the potential to overwhelm him here. And I like his price tag, too, at 9,200. I mean, this is, in my opinion, a decent little pivot spot if you want. Maybe if you're trying to get off of Brito or if you know, aren't going to play, you know, the second highest owned guy, which we will talk about here shortly, maybe a couple of spots for Bonfim would not be the worst idea. So I'm going Bonfim, and I am hoping to see a finish here.
Yeah, I try and stay out of the echo chamber. Like, I want to know kind of what people are doing, but I want to have my own opinion. So I don't listen to a lot of stuff. Try not to read a lot of stuff until my opinions have been formed. I'm all about Bonfim this week. I'm glad to hear you say that, because outside of Saint Denis' path to victory here is grappling, and that's what interests me. I think if he wins, it's because he can get Bonfim down, control him. If he wins, That's what's throwing me off. If Saint Denis wins, I think he's on the optimal because it's grappling based. I don't think there's a lot of dogs. I think it'll be a big score compared to the path to victory that a lot of the other dogs would have. Like if Max Griffin wins, it's probably a decision. You beat him up on the feet for a while and, you know, fine. If Saint Denis wins, he probably has 3 or 4 takedowns, 7 minutes of control time, maybe a submission somewhere in there. It's probably a big score. So that's the only reason I'm mixing him in, because if we're listening to this podcast just for straight picks, I love Bonfim in this spot. Every second this fight is on the feet, Saint Denis is in a shit ton of trouble. Like, Eliseu Zaleski Dos Santos is a great striker. Capoeira guy, good. Really good. Veteran. Bonfim is more direct and kind of those guys who come direct with power aggression. I think it's a problem for Benoit Saint Denis on the feet. I think it's a great pivot spot. That's why I think you need to pivot with either Michael Morales or Ismael Bonfim. You just can't. There's only so many lineups, viable lineups, you can slam in with Joanderson Brito and Guram Kutateladze, who we'll talk about. Like, those guys are fine. They're great. But you want to win something solo or chop it up 3-4 ways versus 20 ways in GPPs, Ismael Bonfim is probably your guy. So great GPP pivot, I agree. And I'm going to be underweight to Saint Denis if he's in one of those things. I can't wait to see the ownership projections we have at DFS Army. Because how I'm going to play Saint Denis is going to be highly based on those projections. I think I'm going to be underweight, especially if he's sniffing 25%, I'll probably just cut that in half and let's see what happens. All right, so I think that was the first fight of the main card. I'm going to stop here real quick, guys. Do me a favor. If you're liking the content, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. Make sure you're here each and every week. We are not going anywhere. Going to start being three-man boosts again next week. Geek on vacation this week. Enjoy the vacation, you motherfucker. And then once NFL starts, if you're familiar, Geek disappears. Well, we're up to 5 contributors now at DFS Army. Myself, Monk. We got Eric, Cash Game Assassin, who's been around a long, long time. And we got 2 relatively new guys who are real sharp members who have been putting out content, seeing their stuff really good. It is Vince M or Vince 2.0, depending if you're in Discord and you know who that is, and Gino Cassis, who you may know, whose name I might be saying wrong, guy on TikTok. He's in the Discord. Chatted with him earlier today, chopped it up. All sharp guys, got 5 opinions in there, composite rankings, all the good stuff. And when football starts, I'm going to have those 3 guys mix in, and we'll have plenty of opinions to go around. And we have to have Geek for International Fight Week next week. That'll be, what, a 2.5-hour show minimum?
Minimum.
Geek, I know you're not here. I still got to bust your balls. It's not an episode unless I'm giving Geek a hard time. All right, let's go ahead and let's talk about fight number 6. Nursultan Ruzabayev. He is +160, 7,800 on DraftKings. He makes his UFC debut against Bruno Ferreira, who is -185, 8,400 on DraftKings. Real simple. Target this fight on DraftKings and GPPs. Just play it. Bruno Ferreira is, I don't remember the record anymore. 9-0, 10-0, 11, something like that. He's undefeated, and he never leaves the first round. I think twice he's been out of the first round to get to the second round. The dude is going to look for a nuke, and he needs to land one. And if he does, he's going to score massive. But if he doesn't, Ruzabayev probably big brothers him for the remaining 12 minutes of the fight. That's probably how this one goes. Ruzabayev is not your typical UFC debutant. He's got a metric fuck ton of high-level experience in outside organizations. You know, you may not know him from UFC or Bellator. There's plenty of good organizations in Europe and Russia, and like, he's been around the block a few times, guys. He is no joke. He'll be able to strike pretty well. I think he'll be able to keep up volume, probably out-volume Ferreira. He'll probably be able to out-grapple Ferreira if he wants to. The problem is Bruno has that nuke, and we saw the nuke against Gregory Rodriguez. And typically, I don't like to rely on guys who have to find the knockout to win. The more I watch him, and the more I watch Ruzabayev, I just think he's there to be hit. Why do I think he's going to finish him? Don't fuck with this in cash games because it could end real quick and somebody could have 1 point for you. I'm going to go ahead and slam in both sides. This is, I think, I wrote an article. It's typically just for VIPs and DFS Army. So if you want the full breakdown of rankings this week and every week, make sure you go and subscribe, but it's basically a listing of fights to target. This is the top fights to target, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way down to briefly talk about which fights you should and shouldn't be targeting in GPPs. This was number 1. There's just I'm going to be overweight to both guys. I'm going to be probably damn near 80% exposed to this fight. And I only 85, I think, is the max I go, even in main events, just because you have to leave yourself the Tafa eye poke. Or I was telling Gino earlier the night Yair and Stevens got canceled. I made a shit ton of money because I was underweight in the main event and everybody else had it. I was just sitting there with the nuts that week. So I never go all in like that. Just there's too much variance in DraftKings pricing. That being said, this fight is like -500, -600 to end inside the distance. Just just play both sides and move on and avoid in cash games. Sometimes it's not that complicated, guys, but in terms of straight pick 'em, give me Ferreira to land his nuke. Monk?
I mean, I have nothing really to add. This is number one with a bullet, like you said, fight to target. I mean, the stat that I have is when they win, and this is a ton of wins. Like you said, I mean, Ferreira only has 10 professional wins, 10 professional fights, but Nuhlsten has like 44 fights. I mean, how many of those are, you know, whatever. We'll scratch that. We're just looking at the numbers. 34 wins. So out of those 44 wins, they have a 95.5% finish win rate. 95% finish rate on that. So, yeah, I mean, what can I say? You saw what Fajeda did to Rodriguez. He scored 4.5 a minute, 109 in that fight. And Nursultan does the same shit. So I completely agree. I mean, if you're, I wouldn't go 100% either, but I'm going to be really damn close. Probably 60-40 one of these sides. Maybe even a little more Nursultan just because he's cheaper. But, yeah, this is an absolute must-target fight. I don't think it's going to be – what was the one – the last – what the hell's his name? God damn it. Pedro, Tyson Pedro. The last Pedro fight everybody thought was going to finish, I think, and it went to decision. I would really not expect that here. Yeah, give me the finish for one of these guys. But, man, I'm excited to see if Bruno can repeat his last performance.
By the way, I was mistaken earlier. I gave the promo in the wrong spot. It looks like they put six fights in the main card, six in the prelims, straight up ESPN card. So either way, I gave the promo a little early. Couldn't help myself. Let's go to the next fight. Kevin Lee, another guy with a bigger name who's a dog. Plus 165. He's 7,400. Taking on Renat Fakhradinov. Did my best with that one. That's a rough one. Minus 190. He is 8,800 on DraftKings. Monk, you're first for this fight. What do you got?
I think you nailed it. Fakhradinov right there. I'm going to go with Mr. Fakhradinov, as a matter of fact. I'm just not liking what I've seen from Kevin Lee lately. 1-4 in his last five in the UFC. The one was the this knockout lives in my head, the Gregor Gillespie knockout. Good
God. The prospect killer.
My goodness. I could watch that all day. But didn't look great against Daniel Rodriguez, and even more so, Daniel Rodriguez hasn't really looked great since about that fight anyways. And Fakhradinov hasn't fought the best people. Mika Lidis, Brian Battle was a bit of a step up, but he's still, you know, this is obviously one of the guys that has the most UFC experience that he's ever fought. That said, Kevin Lee looked awful against Sanchez. Yes, he had knee issues, but that's another reason why I'm kind of fading him here. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, double knee surgery within the last, year or something like that? Who knows what he, you know, on a paycheck? Something. Yeah, something like that. Is he here for the paycheck? Is the UFC bringing him back because of his brother? Like, we really don't know. I hope not. I hope Kevin Lee's here to fight for sure. But that said, if Renat's able to do what Renat does, he's going to score a shitload of points, because how are you going to get up multiple times on double knee replacements after being taken down possibly over and over? We're almost at 6 points a minute for Renat, 119 on average per win, and he put up almost 130 against Battle. So 8,800, I'm going to be living in the Fakhradinov and Gatto range this week. That is for sure. And I just can't – I'm trying not to go too crazy on him, but honestly, I can't get away from Renat here, and I just don't think Kevin Lee's going to get it done. In his career, he looks good as far as DraftKings points per win and whatnot. But, man, we might be past that, even at a guy that's not even 31 years old. Sad to say.
Yeah, I think I wrote in my notes, I struggle to find a guy with more miles in the tank at 30 years old than Kevin Lee. Dude's got a lot of miles in the tank. He feels – it's to the point where I looked his age up and I saw 30 or 31. I went, really? That doesn't track at all. He's got a tough matchup here in Renat. It's one of those, look, Kevin Lee's not look good. It's just that prospect killer Gregor Gillespie knockout. It just keeps living in my head that I'll probably play more Kevin Lee than I should just because of the knockout. And there's enough other dogs I'm kind of shying away from. Kevin Lee, in terms of fighter quality in the bottom range, in terms of dogs, he's the best fighter in that bottom range. It's a fight night card, some weird ass underdogs. Sure, he's the best fighter down there. I'll take a couple stabs, but Renat, you know, he's gonna look to grapple. I think he'll be. What I'm concerned about is a lot of time in the clinch. That doesn't score great unless you're getting takedowns. I think we could be looking at a kind of a clinch fight, grinding type of fight. And I think Renat is gonna be a little bit. I think I'm almost positive he'll be more popular than Melissa Gatto. And for that reason, I tend to lean towards the Gatto side in terms of people I want to target. That being said, Renat feels pretty safe though for cash games. Like cash games, I don't know which one I feel. You know, like Kevin Lee, he's not gonna flash knockout Renat, I don't think. See, it's just one of those weird things. Doesn't feel like it. So I think Renat stylistically is a good matchup for him. Kevin Lee, tons of miles in the tank. I'll take Renat, and just Kevin Lee, just the quality of fighter he has been, will get me to play him some in GPPs. But for the most part, in terms of betting, I think I'd stay away from this fight with the juice and just mix it in a little bit on DraftKings. All right, next fight up, we're going to talk about, oh God, this landed on me. This is my fight. Awesome. Yana Santos, Yana Kunitskaya. Now Yana, you know, I shouldn't talk shit. Tiago, my head to please don't come to my house and kill me. I love your wife. All nice things. Plus 145, 7,600 on DraftKings. Carol Hossa, minus 175, 8,600 on DraftKings. Actually really simple here, and that's a fight that was damn near towards the bottom of my list of fights to target. The only reason that it wasn't at the bottom is I'm picking Yana Santos to win because it is a shit fight. I don't think either one's going to have tons of – it should be low-paced. It should be a pick'em, I think. I think the line's a little bit wide. I think either one could take the other one down. It's I honestly want to say, the big X factor in this fight is Kunitskaya. If you're not familiar, took time off to have a baby, I believe. That was what, one fight ago, two fights ago, wasn't that long ago.
I think she's fought once, maybe twice. Yeah, I don't remember.
Google
Yana Santos. She last fought Holm and Aldana. Aldana was in 21. So, yeah, she's only fought Holly Holm since the baby.
Yeah. So, like, how much further back? It could take a few fights to get back. It's just different. So, if she's back in form against Carol Hossa, I think she probably wins this fight. I think in the clinch, we're going to find out about this fight in the clinch. Who's stronger? That's where I think this fight comes down to, because I think they're going to close the distance. I don't think Hossa is going to stay at range. I think Santos is going to be able to close distance. Who's going to be stronger in the clinch? I don't think it's particularly high scoring either way. I lean towards the dog. Give me Yana Santos in a fight I have basically no confidence in. But at plus 145, I'm almost debating taking a little stab at Santos just because that line feels wide. I'm not a believer at all in Carol Hossa. And minus 175 on her feels pretty outlandish. Coming off the loss to Norma Dumont, she lost to Sarah McMahon. What I wrote in my notes, I think, is the best way to describe this fight. They're both okay fighters who beat who they're supposed to beat, and every time they take even a medium step up, they lose. But they both do the same thing, and you go, who's going to win this? It's a perfect matchmaker's fight. Give me Yana Santos with the exact level of confidence I have conveyed. Monk.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. And this one is at women's featherweight for some inexplicable reason. I mean, who knows why, but hopefully it's one of the last women's featherweight fights we have to see. I agree completely, although I do barely lean the opposite in Rosa. And the one thing that interests me here, which is why it is still towards the lower end of fights I want to roster, but both of these women, on average, in their careers, UFC careers, Rosa is at 104.89 points per win. Santos is at 100.57. Again, these are you nailed it. It's the competition that it's the women that they should beat, they're beating. But if they ever take a step up, you know, we're not seeing those type of numbers. Carol Rosa, though, four of her five wins, all five decision wins, four or five over 100 points. So that's the only thing that brings me pause when I'm going to go to be fading this fight. And Santos just generally not looking great. But yeah, I don't want to talk shit either because Mahete is on those PFL vitamins. So definitely do not want him to come find me. But yeah, the DraftKings upside sticks out in their wins. But like you said, who's going to want to win this fight? For that reason, I'm barely leaning Rosa. Would not be surprised if Santos wins. This line is way too wide. Like you said, it should be closer to a pick'em. I have no faith in either one. But I think I have just a little less faith in Santos than Rosa this week.
You can't make the PFL vitamin jokes anymore. The PFL had a rough season with the vitamins.
Yeah, it was bad. A lot
of shit went down.
Like in the baseball docs, that when they say you used to walk in the locker room and just pick up the greenies, that's what PFL feels like these days.
We move on, and I have a lot to say about this fight. Monk is up first, though. I have a few. Ivana Petrovic, who I think if you're researching tape, and because I do the tape and text MMA Play 365, I could say it's hard to find her fights because if you're looking, it's this is her married name. You can also look under Ivana Siric. She's -220, making her UFC debut. 8,900 on DraftKings, taking on Luana Carolina, who is a human highlight reel for her opponents, at +185, 7,300 on DraftKings. And I say that, just look at Meatball. When you put Ariane Lipsky and Meatball Molly, when you're on their highlight reel, I don't feel good instantly. Anyway, Monk, who you got?
Man, excuse me. I would really usually lean towards the person with the more UFC experience against a newcomer. For the most part, there are obviously exceptions. I don't know if I can do that here. Luana gets outpaced at distance. Well, she actually barely. She's pretty much even at distance, but overall she gets outpaced. And inside the distance, she gets 5 points a minute scored on her. She only scores 80 when she wins, so not a ton of DraftKings upside at all. And she gives up, more importantly, 103 points per loss, just like you said, Sniper, human highlight reel for her opponents. And I did laugh at that. I was muted, however, but you do get credit. I will admit to laughing.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got to lean Petrovic here. I'm really interested in what you have to say, actually. Luana Carolina has spent only 34% of her fight time in distance and has controlled just 23% of that. If Petrovic is able to get any kind of ground game going, I mean, her strength of schedule is awful, obviously. But Luana Carolina, for having way more fights in the UFC, has a pretty damn poor strength of schedule as well. So I'm not ready to commit to much ownership on the dog this week. Maybe a little bit just because she's fighting a newcomer. But, man, I'm interested in what you have to say. And even more so, I'm really interested to see what Ivana's ownership is going to be this week at, what is she, 8,900 for a newcomer women's fight. So I'm very interested.
Yeah, she's going to be under-owned. Probably be overweight just because it's going to be so low, and I'm picking her to win. And I do think she's what gets me here is that I don't think Carolina's going to grapple. I don't see that happening. And if you're going to try and strike against Petrovic, everything I've seen, Petrovic is a really good striker at range. And when I watch her, she throws a lot of combinations. She's not pot-shotting. I think she's got typically in women fights, the volume, unless you're like a J.J. Aldrich, your volume tends to be there when you're at range. You throw a lot of kicks. I don't see how Carolina is going to keep up with her on the feet. You're getting outstruck by Molly McCann. Petrovic is a better striker, better technical striker. I think there'll be plenty of volume, plenty of striking. I don't see the path to Carolina here. I feel good about Petrovic. I think I'll probably overweight to her and just probably underweight to Carolina. I have a pretty strong stance here. And it doesn't take a lot to really get there. She's a good striker against a bad striker who I don't think is going to grapple. The caveat here is, of course, I personally don't know how you feel about it. UFC jitters are real. They are a real thing. How is she going to handle it, especially at only 5 professional fights? And I don't even think she fought an Invicta. I think she's coming from Aries. I'll look it up quick. I have it up. Yes, Aries, which isn't a nothing promotion, but I don't know. I want to see Invicta. You like to see that kind of progression. That's why the guys from LFA typically do really well. Like, it's just that natural step up. That is a concern here. And if she gets caught deer in the headlights, Carolina, then I think Carolina can get a takedown. If Ivana freezes and not using the movement the way I think she will, and she freezes up, Carolina could get a takedown, and then it's all kinds of trouble. But skill for skill, give me Petrovic pretty confidently. Let's move on here. Fight number 10 on the docket. Oh, good. This one falls to me. And I talked to you earlier. We can try and do, I think we're still on pace for an hour or less. And this fight should help us because that ramble could be the longest part of this. Joe Anderson Brito, -1400, 9,600 on DraftKings. Weston Wilson, +775, 6,600 on DraftKings. This fight is the epitome of, why in the holy fuck is Weston Wilson in the UFC? Nobody want to fight Joe Anderson Brito? He's not that much of a killer. Look, Wesley Nelson's coming to the UFC off of a win against 8-5 Fabricio Franco, 4-3 Mike Wilson, and 9-19 Marcus Andruzia. Those are his last three fights. And before that, four fights ago, he got knocked out in round one by Taruto Ishihara. Put Taruto Ishihara in here against Joe Anderson Brito. Brito's going to eat his lunch. The fuck you think he's going to do to Weston Wilson? Look, this is, if I'm wrong here, I'll eat shit. And so will everybody else. But play Brito in cash. Step one, stack main event. Step two, play Joe Anderson Brito. The rest of the cash games are 3-for-3 and will help you in DFS Army. And we'll talk about it there. But that better be the first three in your lineup. Period. End of story. GPPs, there's only so many lineups you can get in with Brito. He's 9,600. Go ahead and play the combinations you want and you like, and I'm fine with it. And Weston Wilson, I'm going to go ahead and go just hit that X button. And if Weston Wilson wins, I'm going to just go on to International Fight Week and call it a day, because at least when there's big underdogs, I can see a path. I don't, what's the path here? Brito, he checks the kick and Brito's leg explodes, I guess. I don't know. I don't see it. So give me Brito. Monk, anything to add there?
Not much. 100% in cash for sure. It should be noted, 9,600 is a very difficult salary to make optimal. Only 25% optimal in its wins so far since 2021. And we don't have a huge sample size there, but we do have a little bit. Yeah, Brito in cash. I will find a way to get him into several lineups in GPPs as well, because I do think he can finish this fight whenever he wants, hopefully in the first round, possibly even the minute. I mean, look what he did to, was it Feely? I believe he beat Feely in the first round, first minute, I should say. Feely would murder Weston Wilson. Like, what is going on here? So shouldn't even be sanctioned for the most part, most likely. Speaking of fights like that, we'll talk about one I just saw. Tatsuro Taira's next opponent. Interesting there. So yeah, give me Brito. I don't mind. I mean, 100% cash. Don't mind him in GPPs if you can get him in. But again, it's going to be a tough, tough underdog slate this week, in my opinion. So it's going to be increasingly tough to get Brito into several lineups.
All right, let's talk about what I think is going to be probably the most hot topic fight. I think should be, because I think this fight's going to decide a lot of stuff in DraftKings this week. Alexander Romanov, -135, 8,300 on DraftKings. Blagoy Ivanov, +115, 7,900 on DraftKings. I'm not going to put any bias into it. Monk, you're first for this one. Who you got?
I'll try not to put bias into it either, man. I was big on Romanov when he came in because he looked good. But again, who's he fighting? I mean, he almost lost against Espino, beat Jared Vandera, Chase Sherman, Roque Martinez. Like, these are guys that are no longer in the UFC for a good reason. And then he looked absolutely terrible against Tybura. I guess it was a majority decision. Actually, that's not true. He didn't look absolutely terrible. He looked very terrible against Volkov. That's the one I'm thinking of. But he did catch his first L against Tybura there in a majority decision, it looks like. Volkov smashed him. I mean, this dude failed two takedowns and was completely done. So I want to see what the weigh-ins look like this week. If he comes in under like 245, then maybe I'll think about higher ownership. But honestly, I'm not really looking forward to it. Also, he posted on his Instagram some quite the heavy workout with a green band. So definitely check that out. I think this is actually sneaky for DraftKings, because it's either going to be Romanov early, first 2 minutes, or Romanov likely will crumble after that if he hasn't improved his cardio. And Blagoy might even get, and I usually fade Blagoy. This guy does not score well at all. But could you imagine? I mean, Romanov is just down on the ground, but Blagoy gets on top of him and just gets his first UFC finish. That is a thing that could happen. He is a bit too expensive, in my opinion, for that. 7,900, rather. Throws no volume, so that's kind of what I'm worried about. But this is really a play on Romanov just completely fading. So I'm going to be sneaky over-owned on this fight, hopefully. I think Romanov will have high exposure, but I think Ivanov will not. And that is kind of the edge I'm hoping to play with this one.
See, I get what you're saying, but I think people are jumping off the Romanov train a little bit too quick here. Look, he lost to Alexander Volkov, a top five guy at heavyweight. Okay, Tybura has been around a long time, legit heavyweight, and he gassed in that fight. The cardio is an issue that will be the concern, but I have a hard time getting behind Blagoy, similar to Demir Ismagulov in that range. If he wins, what the fuck's he gonna score? He has no finishes since in any organization's 2017 World Series of Fighting against Sean Jordan. And before that, Derek Memon. Oh, in 2015. I don't know. It's it feels hard to imagine he's going to get a finish. But again, it's hard to imagine Romanov making the same mistake again. People are stupid though, and if he does it, like, I'm not going to fade it, but I want to see the projections. I think you're right. I think Ivanov is going to be pretty low owned. I'll probably just match the field for that possibility of he gasses out. I'm going to take stab. I think Ivanov, I'm going to be over the field on Romanov, because I don't even know how much, again, these ownership projections will tell me a lot. That's why you got to be a DFS Army member and check out the VIP episode tomorrow, because that's going to dictate a lot of how we're going to play things. If we're thinking that he's going to come in 25%, I'm probably going to go over. All right, give me 40, 45. Let's roll up, because I've seen a guy just crush people before. I think we want Jared Vandera's tough usually. Like, he's a tough guy to get out of there. The DeLima one, well, that was when he just forearm choked and he just leaned all his weight on his neck. That was funny. Like, it's one of those. And if he gets Blagoy down, I think he'll be able to finish him. Another interesting fact is that the thing to consider is Ivanov is tough. Like, literally been stabbed. We talk about it every fight, but it should be talked about. 50 cents. Yeah, he's just, how are you going to get him out of there? So it's probably the takedown and the ground and pound, TKO, ref pulls you off. It's especially the more I hear, the little bit I have heard, I think the Romanov exposure is going to go too far the other direction, especially in the mid-range. I'm probably going to be overweight. I do like this fight a lot to target. I agree it's a really good fight to target. The mid-range is where I'm going to be living this week, because I don't like the dog situation. I built a lineup I liked earlier that for GPPs. It doesn't have Brito in it, which hurts, but it has six. I'm just jamming the mid-range. Six fighters with legitimate upside, and I think I land them. The last spot was like Melissa Gatto, and I'm like, well, she'll be under-owned. Like, it's an interesting single entry build I'll talk about tomorrow, which could be the way I'm going to have a lot of single mid-range builds. It's just the way things are shaking out. All right, let's talk about the last fight of the episode. Guram Kutateladze, -600. He's 9,400 on DraftKings. Elvis Brenner, +425, 6,800 on DraftKings. This is a fight where I can say I'm pretty much favorite or pass. Elvis Brenner is a BJJ specialist. He needs to get a submission or he's going to get a shit pushed in. That's the way I see this fight, and I don't see him submitting Guram Kutateladze, combat sambo guy. Like, good luck, buddy. You're going to be fishing for legs and arms down there. You're going to get either controlled for 14 minutes or just absolutely smashed. I think was it Kutateladze? There was somebody when I was writing my notes that statistically, I'm quickly going to stall real quick. Should be easy on UFC stats to find Guram. Let's see. Was it? No, it wasn't Guram. Yeah. When you beat Mateus Gamrot, that's something. He lost a split decision to Demir Ismagulov, which I don't really, if I remember right, I don't think he lost that fight. And he wasn't able to get takedowns. Brenner's going to want to be on the ground. I think Brenner might even let him take him down. There's no takedown defense there. He should control the fight and finish it. If you want to throw up a couple of Hail Mary shots on the biggest underdog, the second biggest dog on the card, sure, do that over playing Weston Wilson. Go ahead, take your one or two shots if you have to. But it's Guram here to just all kinds of control. It's Brito 1, Guram 2, pivots up top in GPPs. And it's a pretty straightforward slate, one of these fight night cards like this, but that's how I have this fight. Monk?
Yeah, I agree. The only thing holding me back is Brenner, and obviously it was against one of the better guys of the division, Mateusz Gamrot. He only scored 56 points in that win. That said, he got taken down a bunch, but he did score a knockdown and was right there on strikes. Well, pretty close with Gamrot as well. I don't think Brenner, like you said, stands much of a chance. I love Guram for cash. I think he's a must play for the most part. But the DraftKings the GPP side is kind of what worries me. If I know he's going to get, say, a first round finish, I'd be much more interested. If I know that he's going to land, takedowns of his own, but you said Brenner likes to be on the ground, so this might he might try to keep it standing up. If it stays standing up, I don't see how he's going to score well outside of an earlier finish. So it kind of makes me a little hesitant for the GPP side. That said, my pick, obviously, Guram, love him for cash, but I'm interested to see what the ownership's going to be. I think it is a decent pivot, but I think all the pivots in this range are pretty good. The 9K range is decent this week. I just don't know how much Guram I'm going to get. And if I have 200 extra bucks, I'm counting on Brito to outscore Guram like 9 out of 10 times here. So if I knew that he was going to get an early finish, I'd be much higher on him. But that's the only thing holding me back. Is this going to be a stand-up battle? Even a second or a second round win might not score enough points to make the optimal lineup.
All right, guys, that's the fight breakdowns. Don't go anywhere just yet. Gotta do what this podcast is named for, kill shots. If you're not familiar with the kill shot is an underowned play on DraftKings that we like to be the difference maker, end up on the optimal lineup. Not allowed to. I'm hoping you guys have kept this rule since I last left, but it can't be Joe Anderson Brito. That's not a kill shot. He's going to be 55% owned. Somebody in the lower end, typically an underdog, doesn't always have to be. Like I would accept it's not mine. Maybe I'll steal your thunder here, and then I'm sorry. But like a Melissa Gatto would be allowed because I think it'll be a low owned favorite. That being said, Monk, you're first. Who you got for a kill shot this week?
Well, I've been sticking to underdogs lately, so without I'm just going to stick with that. I'm going to go Grant Dawson here at $8,000. That's all. I thought you were going Gatto.
Fuck. All right, I got to scramble.
Well, yeah, I just love the upside. Like we talked about earlier, if there's going to be takedowns, it's going to be Dawson. I mean, we're looking for a possible finish over an already retired and still going to retire fighter in Izmagulov. And I really like Izmagulov a lot. I loved his cat comment, play with him like a little kitty. I love that. Makes me laugh on the inside. But yeah, Grant Dawson, I mean, the upside is there at 8K. This could have huge value opportunity.
All right, now I got to struggle here because that was going to be mine. I don't want to go Bonfim. That's lame.
And on your first show back too, I steal your thunder. Yeah, like that was terrible.
That was rough. You can't go anybody in the main event. You took Dawson. I don't want to do Morales. You know what? I'm going to go with what I did in the open because it's allowed. Give me Melissa Gatto, 8,700 under owned. That's where I'll go. I'll ease my way back in. I promise next week for International Fight Week, I'll have a dog for my kill shot. But this week I'll go Melissa Gatto. All right, that's what we got for the podcast. Hit that like button if you haven't. Hit the subscribe button. Get these every week. I do props videos for Prize Picks. Get in on that stuff every day here on YouTube if you're not following all that stuff. The links are in the description to join DFS Army. We cover DFS for all sports. There's the props package I just talked about. Use your code SNIPER50. 50% off for the summer, guys. 50%. That's just bananas, right? Any package. Make sure you come check that out. I'll see you guys in Discord. Monk, it was a pleasure chopping it up with you.
Likewise.
Hope you have some good luck in these contests this week so we can share some screenshots for Geek next week. And like first week back, where were you?
I don't know. Exactly.
Rub that in his face just a little bit.
He didn't show up. I stole your thunder. Man, that's a rough start.
That's fine. I knew Geek wasn't coming, but you know what? It doesn't mean we can't throw some playful jabs out there. All right. That's what we got for my first episode back for UFC 76. More importantly, Sean Strickland versus Abus Magomedov. Good luck in those contests. And I've been doing this on the props videos. I'm going to keep my same sign up. Sure. In this case, I usually say daily, but for the MMA, I'll say this is your weekly reminder that whether or not you are a DFS Army member, you probably should be. But either way, good luck in those contests. We will see you next time.